Elliot, I want to dig into the game from last night now. I'm not sure what you make of these last two games, but the defense side of this Leafs team has definitely gotten better. But one of the downsides is I don't see them with the same offensive punch that we're used to seeing. Is that one of the downfalls when a team kind of is not known for defense, starts making more of an effort in that side?
Well, I think that might be true to some degree, Mike. Like, I thought as that game went on, Anderson really bailed them out. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I thought they battled. Vegas is a tough team. I thought they really battled them well. I thought in the last a few minutes, like when Marchessault busted in alone, they took that penalty for too many men. Anderson made a huge save on the penalty kill on a Pacioretty setup. I thought they were much more competitive against that team. But I thought late in the game, you know, Anderson showed that why he's worth every penny that they paid him. But the thing I really look at in these last two games is, and I agree with you, is they haven't been at their best offensively, and they still grinded out two wins. You know, like I understood what Babcock was saying the other day, like when he said that win was beautiful against the Kings and people were all over him for it. I can understand why as a coach he thinks that, because they weren't doing a Globetrotter routine and they still won games. And that's the way I would look at that one too. I agree they weren't at their best offensively and they still won the game. And it helped that the goalie, I thought at the end, he was huge, because Vegas could have won that both in the last seconds and at the beginning of overtime.
Guy, I want to ask you about Dermott. Have you noticed he only played 8 minutes?
Yeah, I was wondering if there was something going on there. Like, I didn't notice it during game, but I saw the score sheet after the game, and I was like, okay. I kind of wondered if maybe he's not healthy or anything like that.
Would you say that you can add Morgan Riley to that pile of players that aren't fully healthy, and what do you know about what's going on with him?
Well, we had a thing last night, the burning question segment, one of Amber's crazy ideas. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions we were talking about was, you know, who's your Leaf MVP early in the season? And Riley would be my guy. He clearly has not been healthy, and he's not giving us much information. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. But he's at least started to practice with the regular team again. So that says to me he's at least getting closer. And then at the end of late in that game last night, he took the shot off the foot.
Yep.
And you're sitting there and you're saying, oh boy, like if they lose him, it's a huge problem. He's clearly not 100%. He's battling through it, and he's not giving us any intel on what it is exactly that's bothering him. We probably won't know for a long time.
Would you say that there's an argument to be made, though, that if something is ailing him, which it clearly is, it would be better early in the season to kind of take care of that as opposed to potentially make it worse when we know and we've seen, and I know that everyone keeps coming to the St. Louis Blues and the fact that they were dead last by December and able to turn it around. Would there be an argument to be made that it might be smarter to make sure that he's okay first instead of risking piling on injuries?
Well, I think you could make that argument. The thing is, like, from outside, I could see how any one of us could make that argument, Ashley, for sure. I just think that we don't have the information that they do. And if you take a look at what they've been doing lately, I think you could argue they have been doing that.
Okay.
We thought Tavares was coming back against Philadelphia. They waited 3 more days and put him in against the Kings. Hyman, you know, we thought Hyman was coming back this weekend against either Philly tomorrow or Chicago on Sunday. And Babcock said last night that that's not the case, that he's still a little while away. Or what did he say, about a week away?
Yeah.
And he's coming back from an injury, too. So that actually does say to me that if guys aren't ready, then they're not playing.
Now, with these question marks around Dermott, and obviously we know Riley hasn't been practicing a lot, you mentioned in 31 Thoughts this week that they will have to go to 20 and 21 players. Do you think that's a smart idea by keeping that amount of players on the roster, especially when they have question marks with injuries?
Mike, I don't think they have a choice. The cap is going to dictate that they're going to have to do that. And, you know, the one thing that really helps them is that their American Hockey League team is right next to them. And you know, they're going to be on the road a lot. The November is a, if after this weekend, it's a really road heavy schedule. And the thing is, like, you know, in Toronto, you can get anywhere from Toronto. As long as your team is based there, it's not hard to get guys places. Like, it's not like Ottawa, where there's no city in the world you can get direct to from Ottawa. You know, like, it's, you know, the thing is that you're going to, they're going to have no choice. The salary cap's going to dictate that for them. So whether you think it's a good idea or it's not a good idea, it's the reality of the situation. And I think you're going to see some guys bouncing around a little bit, up, down, around to maneuver, depending on how healthy guys are.
And what teams are calling into the Leafs about wondering if they're going to have to move one of their big contracts? Who do you think they're going after?
I think a lot of teams were. Yeah. I think as they got closer to healthy and Dermott was coming back and Tavares was coming back, and you know Hyman's coming back sometime in the next little while, I heard there were a number of calls. And I think, like, I think the question would be, you know, who didn't call? And I would guess that's a very low number, because a GM isn't doing their job if they don't pick up the phone and call or text Kyle Dubas and say, okay, now that you're getting healthy and we know you're tight to the cap, what are you thinking? And, you know, I think right now they are determined that once they get fully healthy and Hyman's back in the lineup, they want to give this group a run with their strongest possible team and see what it means. And I think that's exactly what they're going to do. I think they've told everybody that the big names aren't going anywhere, or the higher salary guys aren't going anywhere until we get a good chance to see this group. So, you know, obviously we knew Patan and Marinchin had been available. They were put on waivers yesterday. It's going to be, when the time comes that they need the Hyman spot, it's going to be one of Shore, Spezza, Timoshov that is probably going to be the move. And we'll see what happens when the time comes. But for the big guys, the big salary players, that's not happening, I don't think, until they see their group for a while.
Will Jason Spezza accept a demotion to the Marlies?
You know, he hasn't really, you know, that really hasn't been asked. You know, the one thing about him is that he loves to play. And, well, first of all, you got to put him on waivers, right? So I would be really curious to see, would anybody claim him? And I know that, you know, there's been a lot of talk up in Ottawa, would the Senators claim him? So I think that's your first question. I think the second part of that is, you know, if it's the Marlies, I could see at least the chance that he says yes, because he loves the sport. It's in the city where his family is. And you never know in this league, you know, what's the old line? You plan, God laughs. Mm-hmm. You know, Toronto could plan that, you know, maybe that he's not coming back, but you never know what could happen that he comes back. And we know that the general manager at least is in a spot where he likes the idea of having Jason Spezza around. So I think this is being discussed. I can't give you a 100% answer, but Mike, I could see a case for both sides.
With Elliot Friedman, our hockey insider on a Friday morning, this is Leadoff with Ashley, Ziggy, and Scotty Mac, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So Taylor Hall's agent is to meet with Ray Shiro.
They met yesterday.
They met yesterday. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. I read your 31 thoughts and always forget that it's written on Wednesday. So tomorrow becomes yesterday, becomes today. That meeting occurs. I would imagine if I'm Taylor Hall's side, it's like, hey, I'm going to get paid regardless of where I play. So, Mr. Shiro, what's the plan here? How do you think, or what have you heard about how those talks went?
Well, I almost think it's the other way around. I don't think you need to sell Taylor Hall on New Jersey. I think he knows what is going on. Like, he sees it. He knows what's good and bad about the situation, right? He's been there, you know, for 3 years. He's seen them at their best, and he's seen them when they're not at their best. You know, I don't think New Jersey needs to say to Taylor Hall, we're going to do this, 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 and this. He's seen it. He knows it. He saw what they tried to do in the offseason. I think the question almost comes the other way, and it comes from the team to the player. And the question is, if we make you the offer that we think we need to make, are you going to sign it right now? And, you know, judging from the fact that there's not, like, look, the two sides are going to try to keep it as quiet as they can. They're not going to come right out and say, we said this or we said that. But my reading of the situation is that Hall probably wants to see what's out there. And that's not him saying, I'm not going back to Jersey, but it's him saying, you know what, I might want to see what my options are. And I think the decision is going to be the Devils. Do we wait, or do we let this play out, or do we say we can't take the chance and we have to be proactive? And I think ultimately they will make the call here. They will make the determination on that. And, you know, I think the thing is they've got an experienced general manager who's seen a lot, who's not afraid, and I think he's the kind of guy who will say, if I don't like our chances here, or I don't want to risk not exactly having a guarantee, then he'll go out and he'll see what the market is.
So two questions. First, do you think Taylor Hall is the kind of person that's going to say, listen, I don't want to have these contract talks right now until the season's over, and then kind of put the Devils in a little bit of a jam? And second, you strategically maybe put items 12 and 13 on your 31 thoughts about Taylor Hall meeting with Ray Shiro, and then following that said Colorado's going to make a big splash, go big game hunting. Are those two things related?
Nothing gets by you, Ashley. Eh?
Like, I'm very astute.
Yeah, I mean, like, I had some Avalanche fans who tweeted at me and asked me that same question. I do think that, like, I think Colorado, you know, they destroyed Nashville last night. Even with two injuries, they're still a really talented team. But when those guys get back, I think they know that they're going to be – they're in the conversation. They're a legit contender. They've got a lot of assets. I do think that, you know, if Hall is available, I think they would be a team that would look at it. But I think there's going to be a lot of teams that would look at it.
Like, Edmonton?
You know, I've thrown that one out there, too. And, you know, I just decide when I come on radio how many, you know, brush fires I want to start in a particular day.
How much gasoline you got with you that day.
Yeah, that's right. Do I want to pour it on, or just, you know, do I just want to let, like, a mild leaf fire this time? But, you know, I think there's going to be a lot. Now, the one thing I have to say about the Edmonton thing is, you know, Ken Holland there, how much does that change everything? Because it's a new regime. I don't know. But I believe the previous regime had at least talked about it. Do we, when he's available, do we try to make room to go get him? And so maybe it's different now. I'm not sure. But put it this way, it's not always easy to trade a guy who isn't signed. I think if it comes to that, the Devils will be in a position where there's a lot of interest, and there'll be a lot of teams who look at it saying, you know what, if that's a guy we can go with for this year, you know, we're going to do it because he can be a difference maker.
With Elliot Friedman, what are the next steps in this Jets-Bufflin process? And where is this headed, in your expert opinion?
I think that the next steps, like, it's kind of out of the teams and the players' hands right now. Like, this is a bigger deal than the Jets and Bufflin. This is now league and players' association. Because there's going to be a dispute about how much he should be paid, when he should be paid, and, you know, what the schedule should be. I mean, ultimately, number one, Bufflin has to decide, and because of the surgery, it probably won't be for another month or two, if he's going to come back. That's number one. Then number two, they're going to argue about, you know, if or when or how he deserves to be paid. And that's bigger than the organization and the player. And then number three, the question is going to be is, where does he play? I think the Jets want him back. I'm not convinced that Bufflin wants to go back. I think, you know, these are, you know, the line I've been using a lot in the last 48 hours. And this is why we tell people never to loan money to or from friends or family, because money causes all sorts of problems. And that's what this does. So I think the question is going to be, does Bufflin want to play for the Jets? But I think that probably the Scott, the next big decision is, does he want to play? And I think that that determines a lot of other things about his future.